Today on Real Life Radio.
The Bible, in its original language, is without error. God's word is perfect. And listen, if you say, well, I think that my grandmother said there's a contradiction in there. I tell you what, find out what your grandmother was talking about, write a book on it, become a billionaire, because you'll be the first one to find a boo-boo in the Bible.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message he calls God's Final Witness to the World, Part 1. You know, we can't pick up the Bible without reading about God's love and grace to a rebellious and fallen world, a world that's lost in its sin and refuses to follow God. You see, what we often fail to realize is that God is everlasting and eternal, and He has a great plan. You see, the Bible, in all of its perfection and accuracy, is God's witness to the world of its creation, past historic events, and prophecies about what lies ahead. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to tell us that God's final witness to the world is a very specific warning of future events. Time is going to come to an end here on earth, and we got to be ready to share with others how to be saved from what's coming. Now in his message called God's Final Witness to the World, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We get into a tremendous chapter, and I'm going to give you a moment to turn there, Revelation chapter 11. And as you do turn there, if you're taking notes this morning, you remember that a couple of weeks ago we introduced to you chapter 10, verse 1, all the way out to chapter 11, verse 14, is what is called a parenthetical insert, meaning that the chronology of the teaching of John in the book of Revelation here has been placed on pause. And the camera, so to speak, pans over and then zooms in on John, the apostle, who's been granted this vision of the future. And as that camera zooms in on him, he now enters into the scene. And John is invited in to take measure, to understand, to record, and to listen. And we remember, first of all, in our studies previously, that John was just about ready to write down the seven thunders that uttered their voices. And just as John began to write, there the voice came from heaven and said, John, don't write these things down, for they're things that are to be held in secret, so to speak, until the end. So the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ to mankind, but chapter 10 tells us that during the tribulation period, there is something coming that is so bad, that is so reserved for those living at that time, that there was a pause and a silence, and voices uttered out of these thunderous utterings that took place that John could not write them down. So amazing. And again, we don't know what that voice was, what those thunders uttered, but we know that they're specifically reserved for the last days. And so as we look to this chapter, chapter 11, we will go this morning just the first six verses because of the magnitude and the complexity. Church, will you write that down? Just write it on your notes or off to your margin. This is one of the most complex portions of Scripture, Old and New Testament combined. Scholars all around the world throughout ages have said, this is difficult stuff. And so we carefully tread into the Word of God this morning as we look to this study. Revelation chapter 11, I'll read the first six verses there. Revelation 11, 1. John says, then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there, but leave the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given into the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. And I will give power to my witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days in sackcloth, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in like manner. These have power to shut up heaven so that it rains not, in the days of their prophesy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. What a tremendous portion of scripture. You're saying, Pastor, I can't believe I got up early to hear such spooky things. Well, again, we want to underline over and over again that if you're here right now or if you're listening in, you do not have to have any part in what's transpiring in Revelation chapter 11. As a Christian today, you can escape the things that are coming upon this earth. For the Bible teaches clearly that by the time of these things to come upon the earth, the church will have been removed from the earth. That's you. If you believe in Christ today, the church will be removed and has to be removed before this tremendous time of the great 7-year tribulation period begins. This morning, our message is entitled God's Final Witness to the World. And that's an important thing for us. God's final witness to the world. How do we play into that? And how does the future age play into that? In every generation, church, throughout the ages, the Lord has always maintained a witness of his great plan. There's no doubt about that. God is faithful to do that. The Lord God, he's everlasting, says the Bible. And in his book, the Bible, it is eternal. The truth that he gives lasts forever. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, the Bible says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts," God says, "nor your ways are my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down from heaven and the snow from heaven and does not return again, but waters the earth and makes it to bring forth and to bud, that it might give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in that thing for which I have sent it." God's word. Always God has had a witness. Church, even in the dark ages, and you know what? Listen, there's a lot that we can be ashamed of as Christians that's been done in the name of Christianity, and I'm specifically thinking the dark ages. By the way, I don't have to even think about that. Have you seen people, and this is wrong, some guy will go and attack, say it's a doctor who performs abortion. That's wrong. But it's wrong for someone to say, "Oh, I had to kill that doctor in the name of Jesus. I'm a Christian." That's insane. That's terrorism. Or they'll blow up some clinic or something like that. Yes, abortion's wrong, but we're not to do those things. There are people who say, "Oh, I did it in the name of Jesus." Or how about this? "God told me to do it." God judges. God exercises vengeance, not us. Many things are done in the name of Christianity that frankly is embarrassing. And we think about those dark ages where in the name of Christ, military operations were conducted and people were destroyed by the name or in the name of Jesus Christ. Those things are wrong. But even in those dark and terrible ages, 12, 1300s and so, 1400s, early 1400s, before the Great Reformation period began, these wrong things, even in the midst of them, God had a faithful witness. He always has a faithful witness. God is faithful to be and to give a witness at all times. In Matthew 5:16, the Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men," that's a witness, "that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Matthew 5:17 says, "Do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." Not one little Hebrew comma or exclamation point or hyphen of that language will pass, Jesus said, until all things are fulfilled. Why? Because God has established his witness. And listen, Christian church, you are a witness today of Christ. And we'll hear about that as we study this portion of this book. There is no doubt that the Bible is God's written witness to mankind. I love the Bible. It's without error. Did you know that? Anybody visiting for the first time, you don't know anything about Christianity? You don't know anything about the Bible? Listen to this. God's word is perfect. And listen, if you're saying, "Well, I think that my grandmother said there's a contradiction in there." I tell you what, find out what your grandmother was talking about, write a book on it, become a billionaire, because you'll be the first one to find a boo-boo in the Bible. There is no boo-boos in the Bible. God has given us his holy word, and on top of it, he's preserved it throughout the ages. Now, what I love about the Bible is that it is in direct harmony with all that God has done. God, for example, is the designer, creation, creator. He has brought forth the creation. And for that reason, we could boast that God's creation is in some respects a manifestation of his inerrancy, of his perfection. When you look at the creation outside, you see perfect trees, you see perfect bushes, perfect flowers. But someone might say, well, you also see an environment where eagles are eating pigeons and lions are eating little impalas or sheep in the wilderness or whatever the situation is. Yes, that's true. But God didn't intend that. That's, the Bible says, as a result of the fall of man. When you look at creation, that, so to speak, is a Bible speaking of God's greatness, the Bible of creation. It's in direct harmony with the scripture, for the Bible talks about the tremendous creative powers of God and the engineering of God. So good science and good theology should never contradict one another. God has left mankind a witness in his creation, a witness in his written word. Psalm 119, verse 1. Says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. That's the stars above. Day unto day they utter their speech. Did you ever think about that? That stars would talk? I never heard a star talk. I haven't heard a star talk either. But when you lay out there and you look at the heavens above, isn't it funny how you're almost brought to the place of conversing with them? You lay down and you take it in. You know, our culture, we need to chill out, people. We need to calm down. And we need to get outside more often. We need to lay down and look up. Take a drive to the desert. You know, somebody remind me of this, because I'm over 40. I'll forget in the next 10 minutes. Somebody remind me after service, we need to get a bunch of our kids together. We need to go out to the desert. Go out there where it's black and get binoculars and telescopes and let these kids see the glories of God's creation. You lay out there and you look up, and you know what? The heavens almost seem to scream of the glory of God. The scripture goes on to say there in Psalm 19, that they utter their speech, night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. But of course, Jesus Christ himself is the greatest and ultimate witness of all. The Bible says in Revelation 1:5, for Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, whom loved us, he did, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. John's gospel, John 1 verse 1 says, and we all know this verse, this is a great, great portion of scripture. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Listen, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him, that is the Word, nothing was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That's Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested to us. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God's faithful witness. But the context of the book of Revelation is not only the unveiling of Jesus Christ in the coming last days, but it's the witness that Christ gave unto the world. And that witness is that time will conclude, that civilization will cease as we know it. The Bible says so. Listen, church, listen, visitor, all this will not continue on indefinitely. The Bible says that God has appointed a time. And we need to sit down sometime and talk about the tremendous signs that God has given that indicate that we are approaching tremendous days. But God has given a witness, a very powerful one at that. So this morning we look at this, our first point, God's final witness to the world, is found right here in Revelation 11, beginning in verses 1 and 2, and it's this. That there is a witness that God has left to the world, and noted in verses 1 and 2, it's a very specific warning of events. There's a specific warning of events that John has been given privy information to. He says here, then I was given a reed, a measuring rod. Now, I don't want to make a big deal out of this measuring rod. It's really not the point or the issue. But this rod, the word that is used, would be the rod that was found in the Jordan River Valley there between Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, as the Jordan River flows out of the Sea of Galilee down to the Dead Sea, as it approaches the Dead Sea, there is this area, this region of reeds. Some of these reeds were used during the days of Ezekiel the prophet, Zechariah, Jeremiah. John here is telling us about it. These reeds were hollow on the inside. They were very firm and very light. And they were used, for example, Ezekiel was given a rod that measured about 9 feet high. And he was told in his vision to measure the temple. John is told the same thing, measure the temple. And so this rod is a measuring rod that they used in construction. Hey guys, we would use in construction, if we lived back in those days, a measuring rod referred to here, and a plumb line. Well, contractors today use plumb lines or lasers to determine the uprightness of something. But the measuring rod, ours today, say things like Stanley on them, and we would measure something out and then press the button and it recoils back up on the inside and you place it on your hip. John would use this as a staff. The staff is used to lay things out and measure them. And through the Bible, I love this. This is fun. In this 21st century of ours, the measurement factor is still true. God says, when I want to measure something, I'm going to use a staff. I'm going to use this measuring rod. And we'll see how so in a moment. But God will use this measuring staff. And this is an interesting thing. What he does with it is John is given instruments, this rod, and instruction from the angel that speaks to him to rise up and measure the temple of God, jot it down, the altar, and those who worship there. Three things. Interesting. What is this meaning? Well, first of all, keep this in mind. Very important. Let's suppose for a moment, I know you do, but allow me argument's sake. Let's suppose you love someone. Can you think of anybody you love? Say no. Well, then how about somebody you like? In your mind, find somebody you like. Now, as we get into the study, warning is given because something's coming. If you love someone, if you like someone, and you knew something was coming that would be detrimental to them, for example, what if I'm sitting here looking at you, you're sitting here looking at me, but I'm looking outside. I see cars going by, I can glance over here and look at the parking lot, and all of a sudden, oh my, I see a circus truck pull up and the side of it's ripped open. And there are men walking around in the parking lot with shotguns. There's a lion on the loose. It jumped out of the truck. If I loved you, I would say, we're going to prolong this morning's service a little bit. We're going to go on a little longer because we're going to stay in the building. There is a lion loose in the parking lot. You would have no problem sitting here for as long as it took because you're warned. Why would I warn you? Because I love you. So the warning is given, something is on the prowl or something is coming. Now listen, what you do with that warning is your responsibility, isn't it? You could say, Pastor, I don't believe there's a lion in the parking lot. There's no lions where we live. I think that's nuts. And you go out there and you get eaten alive. You will have been convinced that the warning was true and you should have listened. But listen, many who would look on through those windows into the parking lot also would be convinced, wow, that warning was true. I saw the evidence of the validity of the warning. Are you with me, everybody? I'm going to stay here and keep myself under these safe conditions. God is giving warnings so that nobody would leave this place today, or certainly during the tribulation period, that they would not be ones who would walk out into the jaws of the lion, but would receive the warning and then act upon it. This is important to us. So as we look to this portion of Scripture, God says he loves us. So he issues a warning that we not suffer these things. Keep that in mind as we look to this. So as we look to this very specific warning of these events, it will involve some things. And number one, put this down if you would, it would involve the coming of a temple to the city of Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, listen up carefully. The Bible assumes in Revelation chapter 11 that someone would be living at a time. Church, are you listening right now? Listen carefully. Somebody would be living at a time that when, near the end of the ages, that a temple would be rebuilt in Jerusalem. Church, is there a temple in Jerusalem at this moment? No. But the Bible says one will come. Now, many scholars say, oh, that's crazy. There's no way a temple is going to come. It means something else. It's got to mean something else. Well, you should have went with us to Israel then, because Israel's getting ready to build a temple. They have the priestly gowns already made. They have the menorah for the Holy of Holies already made. They've made the altar. They are teaching those of the Levites and the Kohathites. They're teaching them how to perform the priestly duties. Israel is planning on building a temple. Now listen, Israel at this hour cannot build a temple because the Palestinian Muslim world will go insane. There'll be the next Third World War. It's not going to happen today, but Israel is moving in that direction. Isn't it amazing that I get to stand here and say that to you in this time of your ministry? Think about it. Oh, I don't believe it's a coincidence. Well, let's keep going. Let's think about this. We know there's a coming temple to Jerusalem because, number one, Jesus said so. Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all of the world as a witness to all the nations. Then the end of the world will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, and he says, whoever reads, let him understand, there will be the building of the temple in the area that I believe just north of that Dome of the Rock there. I personally believe the Dome of the Rock will stay there. I believe that there will be a wall built, because the scripture talks about a wall being built that will separate the holy place away from this defiled area. Now, why would the Bible mention that Temple Mount area being defiled? The truth is, God says in the last days, a temple will come to Jerusalem. But there's a lot of political things that have to happen before that could ever be true. Yet what's interesting is that there are the motions and the work to bring that about. And so as we look to those slides, those photographs right there, it's interesting to note that an area just north of the Dome of the Rock Mosque is an area that can easily accommodate a temple. It is completely flat. You saw us standing on it there. We were just there a couple of weeks or about a month ago or so. We were standing there on that area where we believe, in accordance with, by the way, right behind the existing Golden Gate, the Eastern Gate that you saw there that was sealed up, that the temple of the Tribulation Age will be built. And of all the areas of Jerusalem, landscape and terrain is so precious. And here's this broad, vast area that can easily house a future temple during the Tribulation period. I just find it interesting that area is vacant. Isn't that amazing? It's vacant. Israel's preparing for a temple. They have posters and they're talking about temple and rebuilding the temple. And here we open up our Bible, we turn to the book of Revelation. Listen, skeptic, God's talking about a temple being in Jerusalem in the future. So you may be bored with this teaching this morning. I'm not. I'm excited because what the Bible says is what history reveals.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called God's Final Witness to the World, Part 1. We're so glad you took the time to join us today. You know, God's Final Witness to the World, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a great series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. April's Book of the Month, I gotta tell you, it's a must-read. You see, never before have current events come together so perfectly to align with Bible prophecy. And quite frankly, there's no one better to share with us this profound biblical truth than our very own Pastor Jack Hibbs. His new book is called Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate End Game. In this book, you'll discover how things are falling right into place, just as the Bible predicted some thousands of years ago. Also, what's coming up next on the prophetic calendar. You're also going to see what to watch out for, why Israel is the most controversial hotspot in the world, and the role that Russia plays prophetically in this global conflict. Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate Endgame. It's our gift to you for your gift of any amount, and it's available at our website, jackhibbs.com. One more time, that's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.